Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
Last week, we started part one. We've been in this series for the last 6 weeks, 8 weeks. It started on May 19th of, Can You Hear Me Now? And throughout this, we've been listening to God's voice and learning how to hear God's voice and finding out, are there things that are in our way that prevent us from hearing God's voice? Last week, we started off with part one of hashtag no filter. And I gave you permission, not that you need my permission, but you had full disclosure that you could be on social media throughout the service if you wanted to, uploading pictures. You could take a picture of me, you can take a picture of the screen, whatever it is that God is speaking to you, and upload it to Instagram with the hashtag of whatever it is that God is saying to you. And we shared some really creative ones. So what we did last week was looked at some possible hindrances, some blocks, some filters that might be in our way of preventing us from hearing what God wants to say to us. This past week, as a staff and leadership, we met on Monday night for a night of dreaming. And what we did was we came together and we shared dreams that each of us have had and each of us do have for this church. And these dreams are the result of conversations that each of us have had with people like yourself about where we see our church going and some of those things. I have been personally very blessed to be able to come into a church that was very healthy. Pastor Dave did a great work of leading this church for the past 20 years, and I was able to come in and continue on in what God continues to do here in this valley through CPC. The thing is that as a church, in order to move forward, as we know, we need to be continuously growing. Because if we're not growing, then we become stagnant. And some of the sermon illustrations that I often use is from a fitness nature, because I'm a fitness instructor. And one of the things that I like to do as an instructor is ensure that the people in my class are always getting a fresh class. Because if every single week they came back and we did the exact same thing week after week, they'd get bored, I'd get bored, and there would not be any growth. Correct? Do you believe that in order to grow, we need to make some changes? So on that, if you're looking for some fitness changes coming up September 9th, join me. I've finally got two classes I'm going to be teaching down here at Comox Rec Center. Monday nights, we can do a circuit class. Tuesday nights, I'm teaching a spin and core class. So one thing that I can guarantee you will get your sweat on. And I'm not one of those instructors that just stands around. I get in there with you, and I'm just as sweaty as you are at the end. So we don't hug. We just simply fist bump. All right. For CPC, it's been a season of transition. We've been taking some time to pause, to listen, and move forward in what it is that God has been saying to us as a church. We've been on this journey of tidying some things up, packing some things away, recycling some items, taking them out to the dumpster, whatever the case. I'm one of those guys that I'm not a big fan of clutter, and I don't like to hang on to things because, well, you never know, in 10 years, we may want to use this again. I don't like to hang on to things. The only thing, if you come to my house, the only thing that I store, can you think what it is? See? And did you know that this past week, we are now less than 6 months to Christmas? So which means there's less than 25 Saturdays to Christmas, which means that from today, it's only 178 more sleeps to Christmas Day. So on that, Mitch, if you're just as excited as I am, come and talk to me, because I've got this great dream and this idea of something that we as a church can do to reach out to our valley. All right, so I've got this big, grandiose idea for the first weekend in December that I'm looking for some volunteers and looking to put together a committee of individuals as a way to reach out to the committee or community. So if that's you, please come and talk to me. I believe that my email address is going to be on the screen there, so feel free to contact me or send me an email, and Evan even put up a nice Christmas picture for me. I was watching TV yesterday, and I saw a commercial saying that in July, they're doing this series of Christmas in July movies. So you can imagine that I might have got a tad bit excited. It can be plus 35 outside, but I can still watch the snow fall on TV. But how many items do we tend to hang on to in our house? We drag from house to house. We move it from room to room. There are certain things that we just don't want to have to throw away. Because there's always those things that you think, well, I can never have too many of those. What is an item for you that you can say you can never have too many what? Shirts? Shoes. Headphones? That sounds like somebody in my house too. I've heard you can never have too many sets of sheets. Never have too many towels. You can never have too much toilet tissue. Right? Am I right? You can never have too much Tupperware, because then you start using yogurt containers and all those sorts of things. But last week, we looked at filters and blocks and voices that prevent us from being able to hear God clearly. So just like we pack our storage room with items that we will never use, how many items do we actually pack away in our brain that we think, why am I carrying this around day in and day out? Isn't it time for me to discard this item? Do you ever have those conversations with somebody where every time or each time you get together with them, the same issue, the same concern keeps coming up? And you think to yourself, would they please move on? Do you ever have those? No, nobody, right? Yeah. But sometimes that past hurt that we struggle to let go, the unfortunate experience that took place in our workplace. Perhaps it's an unanswered prayer, and you're there and you're on your knees or you're walking, and it's like you're praying and thinking, God, I've prayed before, you didn't answer, but I'm told I'm supposed to do this again, so here I am praying. I'm not expecting you to do anything, but sometimes that almost becomes our mindset. The one issue that when it seems to happen, it causes you to be like, just breathe. Just breathe, that item that takes your breath away. What filter do we have over our ears, over our heart, that prevents us from being able to move forward? Last week, we looked into 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we read verses 1 to 8. And here, we heard that Paul was encouraging Timothy to keep pressing on towards what God is calling you to do. Do not forsake the call. There will be people who will not like what you're doing. People will move in the direction of, well, you know what? I like what this person over here says, so they tickle my ear, so I'm going to go there. You tell me what I kind of need to hear, but they tell me what I want to hear, so I'm going to go over there. These people will make the choice to seek the feeling of happiness over that sense of joy, which if you were here during Advent last year, you would have heard that there is a difference between being happy and having joy. Do you believe that? There is a difference, isn't there? Paul knows what it's like to be persecuted and to suffer for the sake of the gospel. We read throughout Philippians that he even said that if you're looking for those man-made qualifications, I've got them all. He said, I was a Hebrew. I was circumcised. I held to the law. I did all of these things. I came from the right tribe. But he chose to remove any filters that might be in place to follow the gospel. It resulted for him in a lot of persecution. It resulted in time in prison, suffering in chains. But he fought the good fight and he pressed on towards the call that Jesus had called him to. Paul remained faithful, and now he knew that he was coming so close to receiving that crown of glory from Jesus Christ. He knew that his time on earth was about to be over, but he was not holding on to the things of the past. So this morning, we're going to pick up that story at 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we're going to read starting at verse 9. It's going to be on the screen, or you can turn. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and it says this, Timothy, please come as soon as you can. Demas has deserted me because he loves the things of this life and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, and Titus has gone to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Bring Mark with you when you come, for he will be helpful to me in my ministry. I sent Tychius to Ephesus. When you come, be sure to bring the coat I left with Carpus at Troas. Also bring my books, and especially my papers. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm, but the Lord will judge him for what he has done. Now let's just hit pause there for a second. And we were reminded that about this last week. It's not up to us to do the judging. God will look after the individuals in your life that has caused you harm. People will come into your life. People will leave your life. It's a part of it. Don't carry around their wrongs in your boxes. Take those to the dump. Get rid of them. Throw them into the incinerator. Through it, though, we're able to hold on to the wisdom that we learned through the experience. But don't allow this to hold you back. Paul even warned Timothy by saying, and we continue on, he says, be careful of him, he's referring to Alexander, for he fought against everything we said. Have you ever met those people? That no matter what you say, no matter what you suggest, they are going to fight against everything you say. And then he says, the first time I was brought before the judge, no one came with me. Everyone abandoned me. May it not be counted against them. Hitting pause again. Here we see that Paul is kind of getting a taste of what Jesus went through. Jesus had told Peter, if you're familiar with the resurrection or the crucifixion story, Jesus told Peter, you're going to deny me three times. Oh, Jesus, no, I will never do that. I will have your back. I will be there. And three times, and as Jesus says, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And that's exactly what he did. But when Jesus rose from the dead 3 days later, and he saw Peter, that wasn't the first thing that he said to him. He did not hold this against him. Peter knew the mistake that he had made. Peter had already walked that journey. He learned from it. Is there somebody in your life that you're holding a grudge towards? You're trying to move forward. Meanwhile, that person has forgiven. That person has let it go. That person has moved on. But as I've said before, sometimes what happens is we start drinking that proverbial poison, hoping that the other person is going to die. But we're the ones who are holding on to you. Here's a good hashtag for you in this moment. Let it go. Let it go. It's time to move on. Now everyone's going to be singing the song from Frozen for the rest of the sermon. Let it go. Jesus did not judge Peter for his past mistakes. Jesus is not judging you for your past mistakes. The enemy wants to keep you in the past of your sin and your hurt. It does not define who God has called you to be. And how does Paul know all of this? Because we can keep reading. It says, but the Lord stood with me and gave me strength so that I might preach the good news in its entirety for all the Gentiles to hear. And he rescued me from certain death. Yes, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil attack and will bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. All glory to God forever and ever. Amen. Father, this morning we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is alive. Your word is active. And I pray that our hearts would be open to hear what you want to say. Sometimes the words that you give to me to share with this congregation, they're not always those touchy-feely words. Sometimes there's that prickling in our hearts, but we know that that's Holy Spirit reminding us of that's something that we need to deal with, something that we need to walk through. And God, we know that you will walk us through each situation. If you're highlighting it in our lives, you're going to take us through it. So, Father, I pray that for these next few moments, as we look at different filters that we put in place over our ears, that we would listen and we would take the time to listen through the voice of Jesus, to hear your voice in all of this. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week we talked about, and I kind of set the stage, that we're going to be looking at five different common filters or blocks that we put that tend to make their way into our lives. Do we limit our hearing God's voice because we listen through the filter of false beliefs? As some of you know, I attend and I'm a part of a Toastmasters club here in the Valley. And this past week, during our session together, my responsibility was to listen for those crutch words that people have, the ones that they tend to use. And my crutch word, and my children often pointed out to me, is the word so. I use the word so, right? And so what I had to do is I had to count what the crutch word was for individuals. So it could be, like, right? So, what are those words that we tend to speak continuously that we don't even hear ourselves? And I mean, ask a friend, what is that crutch word that I use? So taking this a step further, ask yourself, what is that word statement or false belief that I continue to speak over my life that I have become oblivious to? Well, I'll never be able to do things right. Well, I'll never get it. What is that thing that no matter what conversation you're having, this is the phrase that incorporates into your life? What false belief do you allow to be spoken over your life regularly? Have we allowed ourselves to believe, well, God never speaks to me. I can never hear God. Past experiences can impact the filter in which we hear God. Each time we experience something similar to the past, where do we go? Where do we allow our minds to go to? What experience is it that holds you back? You know, for some of you, it might be, well, I tried marriage. That didn't work. Never doing that again. Swearing off marriage for the rest of your life. You know, one thing that I try and tell people when they go out paddleboarding, if you don't get up on the first try, that doesn't mean you never do it again. Right? Did you try paddleboarding? He's like, I just kept falling in. Pastor Trevor knows this. But one of these days, he's going to get up, and we're going to paddleboard together. Did you attend a church, and there was a parishioner, or possibly the pastor said something, and you've just been holding on to that, and everything that you now hear, you hear it through the filter of what this previous parishioner or this previous pastor has said, and everything is looked at through that lens. There's sometimes when I'm talking with former people or people who said, yeah, well, I used to go to church. Oh, and what happened? Well, there was a person in the church or, you know, the church says this and people believe this and they say this. And usually it comes down to one person. And what I feel bad about and I don't like is that you're judging an entire population based on what one person said. Because one person said it to you, now all of a sudden, oh, I'm not going to that church. It's just filled with you name the person. But we tend to look at it through the filter of what one person might say. That's like when the server brings you out your food and it's not been cooked properly. You tear a strip off them. They had nothing to do with your undercooked food. But we tear the strip off of them. What false belief do we allow ourselves to hold on to? Is it time for us to discern and even confront the issue in our own lives? It's almost like we ourselves need to take ourselves by the ear and go and have a good talking with ourselves. There are times that we need to be ruthless with ourselves and examine our own hearts. Are we allowing Holy Spirit to examine our thought processes? Do we limit God's voice because we listen through the filter of rationalism? What is the one word that when your child learns at a very early age that drives you crazy? That's the word. Why? Why? Can you do this? Why? Can you go and do this? Why, Mommy? Why, Daddy? And do you ever want to look at the child and what do you want to say? Because I said so. Because I said so. How many times does God ask us to do something? And we say, why? Why? I wonder if God wants to look at us and say, because I said so. We don't always need to know the why. Sometimes God is asking us to take the step of faith. Rationalism can become more of a block than a filter because the way what we listen through. Rationalism is saying that I need to have the logic. I need to know exactly why and to have that certain kind of intuition. This is where what happens is that we lean on our own understanding. There are times when God is going to ask us to do something. We believe that God has spoken to us. But to try and explain it to somebody else just simply doesn't make sense. Have you ever been in that situation? To try and explain what God is asking you to do is like, this just doesn't make sense, I know. You may want to even talk it out with somebody, but there's this little bit of fear inside of you that says, well, if I talk it out, they're going to try and rationalize it with me, and then I'm going to get thrown off course. As a result, we put up a block and we don't allow ourselves to move forward. But think about it. When God came to Abram and said, at the age of 75, you're going to be the father of nations. How many 75-year-old men in here would love to receive that word today? This 45-year-old man does not want to receive that word today. It just didn't make sense. He looked at God, or he looked at the prophet and said, ha, no, there's no way. What about when Jonah's in the ship and there's this crazy storm? And Jonah goes and says, you know what, you guys? You got to throw me overboard. The moment that you throw me overboard, this storm is going to stop. They're looking at this like, that doesn't even make sense. What do you have to do with this great big storm? When Paul is knowing that he's going to be tossed into prison because of defending the faith, people would probably say, why? Why would you want to do that? That just doesn't make sense. What has God been saying to you? Back on May 19th, when we started this series, I asked you to write down that question, put it in a notebook somewhere, and say, what is God asking you to do? And then I followed it up with, what am I going to do about it? Do we sit there and say, oh, that can't be God. No, God, that's such a crazy thought. Why would you be asking me to do that? And then we dismiss his voice. Hearing God's voice is a spiritual thing. Holy Spirit speaks into our hearts. Holy Spirit drops that nugget into our souls. Are you defending your faith or are you defending your logic? Do we question everything? Or when God comes and says, Chad, this is what I'm asking you to do, is our response, okay? Okay. Doesn't make sense. It's going to take a lot of faith. It's going to take a lot of work. But God, okay. Just like Peter, because you said so, I'll let down the nets. We fished all morning. We didn't catch anything. But because you said so, I'll let down the net. Do we limit our hearing God's voice because we listen through the filter of fear? False evidence appearing real. Fear. False evidence appearing real. What is something that possibly may have been missed because you were afraid to put it into action? But what if I get it wrong? It happens. Move on. But there's so many unknown factors. We're not privy to every single detail. If we knew exactly how it was all going to unfold, does that require faith? No. But what if my motives are in the wrong place? Well, are you allowing self to creep in, or are you listening to God's voice? I came across this speech recently, and I tried to find out exactly if this speech was shared to this group of students. It was written by a principal who was coming into a new school, and he wanted to let the students know how he would be operating and running the school. And I read through this speech, and it was a very powerful speech, and there was one line or one statement in there that really struck to me. And I want to read this to you, because he's questioning their motives and questioning their thoughts. And what he says is this, as he's talking to them, he says, your clubs will be based on interests and passions, not blood, ethnic, racial, or other physically defined ties. Those clubs just cultivate narcissism, an unhealthy preoccupation with the self, while the purpose of education is to get you to think beyond yourself. So, here at this school, we will have clubs that transport you to the wonders and glories of art, music, astronomy, languages you do not already speak, carpentry, and more. If the only extracurricular activities you can imagine being interested in are those based on ethnic, racial, or sexual identity, that means that little outside of yourself really interests you. When I read that, it was very powerful to me. Do I allow myself to think beyond myself? Or do I look and say, well, I like it this way, and I like it this way, and I want them to sing this song, and every time I turn on the radio, I want this song to be playing. Can I think for a second even beyond myself? Even when I'm thinking about this church, I can't think about just what Chad wants. I've got about 200 people that I need to be thinking about and saying, God, what is your direction? If I'm only focusing on what Sheila wants and Mitch wants and Esther wants, what about the rest of you? God is calling us to think beyond ourselves. We are called to think about this entire valley. There is a whole valley that is going to hell. Do we care about them, or do we simply want to show up and to be pleased ourselves? But if I'm deceived by the enemy, what if I'm deceived by the enemy and I think that it's God? Take the step. You will know. My thoughts when I look at this is that if I'm walking closely with God, I will know God's voice. If the only voice that I seem to hear is the enemy's voice, then I need to step back and say, who am I following here? Am I following God or am I following the enemy? I want to be following God. I want to know his voice. Do we know the voice of the shepherd? God loves us. God has great things in store for us. We don't need to live in a constant fear. This past week, students would have received report cards, and some of them may have had a teacher write in there and say, is not meeting expectations. On your report card of life, God is not writing, is not meeting expectations. He's continuously working through us. He's continuously shaping us, creating us to be the person that he wants us to be. God loves us, and he sees the best in us. This leads us into the next item. Do we listen to God's voice through the filter of shame? This is a big one for many people. For a lot of years, even for myself, I didn't allow myself to hear God's voice because I looked at my past experiences, the things that I had to go through, the things that I went through, and I listened through the voice of shame. I could not see myself the way that God sees me. Coming up this fall, right after Thanksgiving, we're going to be doing a sermon series entitled Eyes Wide Shut. We're going to be looking at some issues of individuals, some things that people in this congregation face, journeys that people have walked through, and we're going to hear their testimony. And through that, my hope is that you, as you hear these stories, you'll be reminded and have the courage, because we will overcome. Why? How? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We go through these things. This is all a part of our testimony. Shame is rooted in lies. When you walk around speaking those lies over yourself, it's so difficult to hear the sweet, still, small voice of Jesus. When we go into that storage room and we see the box, and it's that box that's full of shame, one thing, if we open up that box, the one thing that's going to come out is the guilt. The guilt is in there like, hey, don't forget about me. I'm in here too. Where there's shame, there's guilt. That's the box that does not need to be recycled, does not need to be taken to the landfill. That one needs to be burnt up. Nobody needs to get their hands on that box. Do we limit our hearing God's voice because we listen through the filter of our own agendas? No, God, this is not the way that it's supposed to be. I'm supposed to be a missionary living on the beaches of Belize, talking to people about Christ, and this is what you have in store for me. You told me that that you will give me the desires of my heart. Well, I believe that God might be asking the question, well, have you been delighting yourself in me? Well, I go to church every Sunday. That's got to count for something. Okay. What discussions have been taking place at work? Well, God, these are my friends, and I don't want to get fired, and I don't want them to push me out, so I just keep everything to myself. I can't talk to them about you. Well, how are those Spanish lessons coming along in order to prepare you for this upcoming missions trip to Belize? Well, I've been way too busy. I don't have time for that. Well, what about your finances? Have you been tithing? Well, God, I've got a car payment, and I've got rent, and I've got to have coffee with my friends, and by the time I pay for all of these things, there's nothing left over for me to give to you. Help me to understand this call that's on your life that you believe is there. When did I call you to this work? Well, I like the sun, and I see that my friends are going out on mission, and I see the pictures, and I see the great life that they have, and Jeremiah 29:11 says that you will give me I know the plans that I have for you. These are plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope. And I think that living on the beaches of Belize is pretty good. Now, obviously, this story is one that I've made up. But sometimes we look and listen to God through that filter. Because the passage, Psalms 37:45 says, delight yourself in the Lord. That's the first thing. Once we do that, what does it say? And he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him. And he will act. How often does this resemble our story? It's so easy for us to become fixated on our own agendas that they actually become an idol. Some of these subtle filters that creep into our lives, maybe items that we're not even aware of. They could be our opinion, of wanting to impress other people, to please other people. It could be our desires. It could be apathy. It could even be our theology. Yes, it could be our theology. Because there are times when we take such a strong standpoint on our theology that we can't even hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. What if what we've been hearing is not what God is saying? What if when we read that passage of Scripture, we just zeroed in on this? Well, you will give me the desires of my heart. Let's look at it in context. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Sometimes we focus in, and our theology comes around one little passage, and we build it all on that. Do we know the Father's voice? Are we following the shepherd's voice? So what do we do now? We recognize the blocks that are around us. This often starts with having a conversation with God. There are times where God will put people into your path. We quote the scripture, as iron sharpens iron. Who is it that God is putting into your path that continuously rubs up against you to help you see those things that God is trying to highlight in your life? Now, I'm not saying don't look for those people that are going to either tell you what they think you want to hear, or they have their own agenda and they got to try and get you to get on board with them. Find those people that are going to help you see it through the eyes of God. as I say, find somebody that you trust. Don't take advice from somebody that you don't trust. Why would you do that? If you don't trust them, why would you take their advice? Once the block, hindrance, or filter has been identified, that's when we take the step of faith and we ask for forgiveness. Choose forgiveness. If you recall back at the beginning of this series, I shared with you the journey that I had to take when I was in Newfoundland. I had to go back to the place where my sexuality was violated as a child. I had to take that step of faith. I went and I asked for forgiveness, and I also received that forgiveness. It's one thing to hear the truth. It's another thing to actually do something about it. There are days where we have to do our way into feeling. Sometimes you just don't feel like doing it, but you know that you should do it. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Walk with God. Through the series, we talked about the family. This is our family. God is using us. He hasn't called us to do these things alone. He's put people into our path. And finally, learning to listen. Through that, we talked about putting that L sticker on your vehicle, the one that we put on our vehicle that we're learning. All of us are learning. When you're going to that friend, you know, just as I said, sometimes you want to take their cheeks into your hand and say, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Sometimes when you're trying to talk things out with a friend, do you ever get to the place where you want to take their hands, their cheeks into your hands and look at them and say, would you please stop talking? That's the polite way of saying what I would really want to say. Because sometimes you need to talk those things out, but the person will not let you get a word in edgewise. They just keep talking, talking, talking. It's like, would you stop talking? There's no shame in having that L sticker. We're always learning. It starts with thanksgiving, understanding and knowing who loves us. Fixing our minds on Christ. Just as we said, you know, there's power in the name of Jesus. When we call out the name of Jesus, God knows exactly what's going on, and He is meeting that need. We welcome the presence of God into our lives. And Scripture says, ask God to speak. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open unto you. Father, I know that you have been speaking into the hearts of these individuals. You've been speaking into my heart. I don't believe that this entire sermon series was just for me. If it was, thank you, because I learned so much through this. But I believe that as a church, you've been asking that question. And my hope is that for each of us, we're going to do something about what it is that you have been speaking. I pray that if we be holding on to something in our past, a previous church, a previous pastor, a previous parishioner, a person at our workplace, God, I pray that we would receive that forgiveness, we would allow our hearts to be healed, and we would move forward in the direction that this item would not be the thing that comes up in every conversation. God, that we truly would let it go. Hearing your voice. Listening to your voice. Acting on what you're asking us to do. And then standing secure in what it is that you've spoken into our lives. I'm excited for where you're going to lead us. I'm excited for the testimonies that are going to come out. I'm excited for the series that is coming up in the fall and hearing the testimonies of how you have walked with each of these individuals on the journey that you have them on and how you've healed, you've delivered, you've redeemed, you've restored, you've forgiven. God, that's reason to celebrate. And you want to do that in every single one of our lives. Father, we give you praise. We give you glory. And we ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.